So anyway, we'll be in Revelation chapter 3 this morning. And I know that's scary to some of us because we get the idea that Revelation is one of those things that maybe we're not supposed to completely understand. Well, then he probably wouldn't have called it Revelation if it wasn't something that was supposed to be revealed to us. But many times pastors and teachers will skip over it or kind of dodge around it because of all the symbols and the signs that are presented there. And this week, as I was beginning to pray over the message, I could not get past one word. And that word is used in this passage. And so I felt like this is where I need to be. And I'm sure, I normally don't say this, but I'm pretty sure that everybody here needs this. And so we're going to be in chapter 3. And what's taking place, or just has taken place in Revelation, is John has been, he's been exiled on the island of Patmos, and he is there, and he has a revelation of Jesus Christ, and he begins to get letters to send to seven churches of Asia. Now, these were all real churches in that time. And so some people say, well, it was just written to those seven churches. Well, yes, it was written to those seven churches. But those seven churches also paint kind of a composite picture of the whole church in general. And that each of those letters has something for all of us, even today and in every church age. But also these churches kind of represent the church as a whole from the day of Pentecost till the day of Christ's return. Well, the last church is the one that we're going to talk about, and it's in verse 14, and it's the church of Laodicea. And so as we get ready to read this, this is one of those things that God just kind of laid on my heart. You're going to say some things that may make people uncomfortable. You're going to say some things that may make people upset. But you're not going to say anything that's not right here. And so that's where we're going to go. So if you read along with me, starting in verse 14, it says, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I lift up this next few minutes to you. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit would move in such a mighty way. Lord, help us to see what you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say and the passion with which to say them. Lord, that I do the things that you've called me to do. Lord, that each of us hears from you and not from me. And Lord, that these aren't just words on a page, but they're words that you have given to us. Because you love us. I thank you and I praise you for this time, and I pray that you be glorified more than anything. Amen. As I said, this message from Jesus, it says there, and he kind of identifies himself that the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Now, that doesn't mean he was the first thing created because Jesus wasn't created. It means that he was there at the beginning of creation. Jesus is the faithful and true witness in whom there is nothing false. He is Amen. He's got the final say. That's where he's at. And so he identifies himself as he sends this letter to the church of Laodicea. And the first thing he says, "I know your works." And I got to thinking about that this week. It starts off with, "I know your works." And there's nothing more scary whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, than for you to understand that, where it says, God knows your works. He knows everything you do. He knows everything you don't do that you should be doing. He knows why you do those good things. He knows the motivation behind it. And sometimes we do good things, but the motivation is not coming from the right place. He knows that. He knows our works. And that's scary. It should be. It should present that fear of the Lord in us that causes us in awe and respect of Him to understand, I know your works. Now here He's talking to the church at Laodicea. And He's telling them, I see it all. I see your works. As He tells them, He says, you're neither cold nor hot. Now if you know the layout of this place, there was the Phrygian mountains right nearby, and even when you go there sometimes in the summer, they say that there's still snow on the caps of the mountains. And so as that water runs down, those streams, those mountain streams run down, it is ice cold. And it works its way down. But then on the other side, there is a place called the Hierapolis. And that's in modern day Turkey. And they have hot springs. You've heard of those Turkish spas? That's where that comes from. These hot springs are so hot that it's just steaming all year round. And so you've got these two extremes of water. Man, you've got that ice cold water that's great for drinking. And then you've got that hot spring water that would be good for a bath or maybe hot tea or something along that line. But Jesus says, you guys know what lukewarm water is. Because by the time you track that hot spring water, by the time you bring that up to where you're at, it's lukewarm. It's not really going to be useful much. And when you drink it, it's literally you just want to spit it out of your mouth because it's not cold. It's not warm. It's good for nothing. And Jesus says, I know your works. I know your works are lukewarm. What you're doing is not of any use to me. And as I thought about that this week, as I go into this, and because I know there are times when we are excited about God and we are worshiping Him and we are praising Him and we're going out and we're telling people about Him. And then there are also times when we just want to sit back and do nothing. And we get to the point that we're kind of lukewarm. And I think, you know, just like Jesus said, nobody wants what they've got. If what you have, if what I have is lukewarm, nobody wants what you got. Why is anybody going to seek to follow the Jesus that I follow if my spirit is lukewarm? If it's not worth anything but to spew out of somebody's mouth, and this is Jesus, is saying, I would vomit you out of my mouth. That's what you're worth. That's what your spirituality is worth. Is that Jesus would have the mentality, he says, Steve, you are lukewarm, and I would just want to spit your spirituality out of my mouth. That's scary. And not only does nobody want what I have, what they had, and they had a lot, but it had no eternal value. If you know this church, it is in this place of great commerce, and they are very wealthy. It's a big banking, what we would consider banking industry today. But it was a place of great commerce, and they were very wealthy. They presented black wool. So they had all of the material things. They could trade this black wool for almost anything that they wanted. They had the material goods. And they were kind of a medical place as well. They were kind of an intellectual place. And they invented this or come up with this salve that they would put on people's eyes that was supposed to heal their vision. So So, man, they had it. They had money. They had material possessions. And they had the intellect. They had all they thought they needed. But not one thing that they had had any eternal value. And I wonder sometimes as a Christian, when people see what we have, do they see any eternal value? Because they will see me on my good days, and they will see how I'm getting through a bad time. And they will see how I'm surviving or how I struggle through a situation. But do they see any eternal value in what I have? Or is it just for here and now? And he gets through a bad time real easy. But do they see what is really there? Do they see any eternal value? And he explains to them, he says, after he tells them that they're lukewarm, he says, for you say you're rich and you say you've prospered and you say you need nothing, but you don't realize. You don't realize what you're missing. And man, I know in every single church around the world, and probably behind every single pulpit around the world, people do not realize what they're missing. People do not realize what they're missing because at least I'm better than this person. Or at least our church is better than that church. Or at least we're doing something. Man, I can take lukewarm water and pour it over my feet and it feels good and it cleans the dirt off. Sometimes lukewarm will get me by. But not spiritually. Not spiritually. And so as we see that Jesus says, you think you've got it all, but he says in verse 18, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and the salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Jesus is saying, I want to bring to you riches that really matter. I want to bring to you riches that will last, rewards that have eternal value. As Christians, that's what we want. I want to be that Christian that has that eternal reward. I want to have those riches in heaven that when I get there, I'm going to have a mansion on a hilltop. You know, like the song says. But the bottom line is, he says, I counsel you to buy from me. We want to get it from a church. We want to get it from a Sunday school class. We want to get it from the internet. You can't get it anywhere but from him. Now, these are other good avenues that they teach us and they disciple us and they do good things. But if you want eternal reward, you got to go to him. But it's so much easier to go to a good Sunday school class and have that person just tell me what I need to do. And I can scroll through the internet until I find a good sermon that's preaching the gospel, and I can have that guy tell me what I need to do. Why don't you go to God? Why don't you go to him? Why don't we go to him to find the riches that will last? To find the white garments, the righteousness that only comes from Jesus Christ. And the salve, it's that spiritual insight that only comes from him. And he is telling them, you think you've got riches, you think you've got prosperity, you think you need nothing. You got money, you got the wool, you got the eye salve. He takes those same three things. He says, you don't have real riches. You don't have the righteousness to truly cover you. And you don't see the truth. So Jesus took the things that they thought they had and he compared them to the real things that they could get only from him. And so I want to lay that out there for each of us. Because for us, it comes down to
What do you think's getting you by? Are you depending on your riches? Are you depending on your prosperity? Are you depending on the fact that, hey, I really don't need anything in this life? I've got all these things. I'm getting by. Because if you're depending on those things, one of these days that eastern sky is going to split and those things aren't going to matter. It comes down to, are you depending on Him? Are you getting your righteousness from Him? Are you getting your spiritual insight from Him? No, we don't. That's why we're lukewarm. And sometimes when we think about this seventh church that they're writing to here, think, boy, that's the end of the line. Those guys are out of luck. Because every other church that he wrote to, the other six churches, he had commendations for them. And you do this, but I don't like this. You do good here, but I don't like that. This church, he had nothing good to say about them. Well, Pastor Steve, are you saying there's nothing good to say about our church? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying our country's not very far from right there. Our country's not very far from Church 7. So he tells them, he knows what they have. What they have has no eternal value. But then he offers them to get it from him. And for a long time, I always thought, this church is out of luck. But if they were out of luck, why would he say, I counsel you to buy from me? It's not too late. Get what you need from me. He goes on in the next verse, and I love this. I don't like when it happens, but I love the idea. He said, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. And we don't like it when somebody gets on to us, if our boss comes down on us or if our parents come down on us or for whatever reason that God comes down on us, we don't like it. But he says he does that because he loves us. He's going to discipline those whom he loves. So he's telling them this, so it's obviously not too late. He's also telling them, even though you're lukewarm, I still love you. You're of no use to me, but I still love you. I want to spit you out of my mouth, but I still love you. I'm going to rebuke you because I love you. I'm going to correct you because I love you. Oh, then I'm okay. Even though I'm lukewarm, he still loves me. That's the reason he's correcting me, so I'm okay. Got to keep going. He says, I reprove and I discipline, so be zealous and repent. And he's telling that church, he said, really the word zealous is excitement, but it really meant hot. It really meant on fire. He's saying, I don't want you lukewarm, I want you on fire. I want you on fire for me. Wow. I'm a long ways from on fire. But the next word he says, and repent. You cannot stay lukewarm. You have to turn away from the lukewarm life. You cannot coast through life. You cannot be lukewarm spiritually. Well, at least I'm lukewarm. I'm not cold. He says here, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. Because spiritually, cold refers to those that are against God, those that go against Him. And hot is those that are on fire for Him. And so spiritually, he's saying, I would rather you be against me. I would rather you stand up and say, I don't know God. I don't have anything to do with God. I would rather you be that than be a hypocrite and say, I know God, but deny the power thereof. I know God, but I don't show a love for Him. He does not want you to be spiritually lukewarm. He wants you to be hot and on fire, And in order to do that, you have to repent. You have to turn away. Repent basically means to turn away from one thing and turn to something else. I have to turn away from, well, what is lukewarm? What is that for me? I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. You know what it is for you. When you're lukewarm, there's something that is keeping you from being on fire. Maybe it's time. You know, when they would take this water and they would pull it out of those hot springs, man, it would be so hot. They said almost to the point that it would scald you and burn you. And then over time, the farther I got away from that spring, the more lukewarm that water got. It would never get cold. It would just get lukewarm. The farther I got from the source, the more time I spent away from the source. So what is it that's causing you to spend time away from the source? And how long has it been since you've been back to the source? And I say that because I'm guilty. And I feel like sometimes I have that bucket that I go to that hot spring and I'm ready to carry it with me. And if you looked at that bucket, it's got so many holes. It's got a bad attitude hole. It has a I love to play golf hole. It has a I like that guy's boat and I don't have one hole. It's got all these holes in my bucket. So I got to keep running back to that hot spring, to that source of getting me hot and keeping me that way. And I want to live right here by that hot spring. I want to be able to take that hot water out and use it however to make hot drinks or to bathe or whatever purpose. But too many times, something draws me away and something keeps me away, that my time doesn't get back to the source. I don't know what that is for you. We're going to finish with this last verse. And I love this. Because even after he's corrected and rebuked them and told them, I want to vomit you out of my mouth. You have no eternal use for me. He tells them that. And then he says in verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. I used to think that was only an evangelistic message. But he is writing this to the church of Laodicea. He is writing this to a group of people that are called out to follow God. They're just not doing it right. And so when they didn't do it right, he comes back to the door and he says, I'm standing here at the door. We sang a couple songs earlier that basically said, he's standing here with arms wide open. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. He's not standing at the door of the church. He's not standing at the door of the church body. He's standing at the door of your heart. And he's saying, you're lukewarm. Steve, you're lukewarm, and I'm standing here at the door. I've made a way to come to you. And he's done that through the cross to every one of us. He says, I stand at the door. Not only do I stand at the door, but I stand at the door and knock. He's made his way to us and he's still calling. It should be enough that he should just be available and we should do the rest. But he made himself available and now he's calling. He's knocking on the door of your heart. If you're a Christian and you're exactly where you need to be, you are on fire for God, then tell me how you keep doing that. Encourage me to help me keep doing that. Disciple me to help me keep doing that. Because I keep getting too far from the source. I spend time away from the source. And I want to be there, but I'm not. And my guess is neither are you. But he stands at the door and knocks. And I thought, you know, that's good. That's great. This just came to me. I don't know how many times I've read this verse, never heard this, never seen this, never felt this. He says, I stand at the door, I knock, but then what's the next statement say? If anyone hears my voice. He didn't say if anybody hears my knock. He said if anybody hears my voice. So he's calling out to me too. And he's came to the door. He's knocking on the door. And I'm not getting it. So now he's calling out to me. He's calling out to me and saying, hear my voice. It's me. I'm here. I want you to understand. I am here for you. If he's knocking on your heart's door and you're not listening, he's still not going to give up. He's going to start calling you. Hear his voice. And then he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. And this is the hard part right here. Because too many times we hear his voice. And we love the fact that he came to the cross. We love the fact that he died and rose again for our justification. That he's calling us. We love the fact that he's knocking. We love the fact that he loves us enough to call out to us. But I love him enough for the and opens the door? Well, I feel pretty safe as long as Jesus is standing right outside my door. I feel pretty good as long as he's out there and he knows my name. But that's not where he says to stop. He says, if you hear my voice and open the door, he's going to knock on your heart. He's going to call your name. But too many times we don't answer the door. One day last week, Joey was bringing some stuff over to the house. I'm sitting in my recliner. I'm relaxed. I got the blanket kicked up on top of me. I've got the dog laying across my lap. Joey's out the door knocking. I didn't hear a thing. I just hear this rumble. I thought that was thunder. I made some other excuse. I heard something else. Donna comes walking out of the other end of the house. Do you not hear the door? Do you not hear somebody knocking on the door? Well, I just played it off as something else. So Donis went and answered the door. I didn't. I missed out. Joey had a whole bag full of treats. I didn't get a one of them because I didn't answer the door. But the bottom line is this. God is knocking on the door of your heart and my heart every single day because we're drifting back towards the lukewarm. And he's like, hey, I'm here to tell you that you're drifting towards lukewarm. I want you on fire. Repent of whatever it is that's keeping you away from that heat source. That's what I want. He says, if you will just open the door, I will come in to you. He's not asking us to come out. He says, if you open the door, I will come in and I will eat with you and you with me. And that's basically, he's going to fellowship with us. He's going to come in and spend time with us, serious time that you can only have if you open the door of your heart. That it's not between me and a great church congregation or me and a Sunday school church at a Sunday school bonfire or at a church camp retreat. It's me and Jesus. It's me and Jesus. He's coming in to fellowship with me. But if I stay in my cozy recliner with the things that I care about, and I never hear him knock. Because when you hear him knock, then you listen for his voice. That's what he wants. So as I close this morning, I want to just say this. We are all lukewarm. But he has not given up on us. He loves us. And he is knocking on your door. It's up to you what you do with it. He has done everything. He's willing to do more. But it comes down to what are you willing to do? Be on fire and repent. Get back to that heat source. And love God the way he loves you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I know I'm guilty. Lord, forgive us where we fall short. Draw us. Lord, help us to hear. Help us to respond. Lord, I thank you for not giving up on me. In your name I pray. Amen.